Hello, I'm Peter Burnett of the law firm of Burnett & Williams. You're about to watch an episode of From Injury to Justice. If you like it, please hit the subscribe button below. Welcome to From Injury to Justice. I'm here today with my partner, Jim Williams, to talk about the benefits of and the safety of hiring a personal injury attorney in your case. Jim, tell us first, how long have you been doing this?
37 years.
Wow. And in those 37 years, have you always been a plaintiff's lawyer? Or have you ever done defense work?
No, I started off on the representing the insurance companies. I did that for about 12 years. And in 2000, with the millennial, I switched over to being a lawyer for those who are injured to use the knowledge I gained over those first 12 years of my career.
Have you found it helpful to have had those 12 years of experience?
Oh, absolutely, because I know what's going on from when the insurance company first gets a reported claim to resolution to the what's going on inside the insurance companies, what they're thinking. Absolutely. It's been made me a better lawyer, and I think I get better results for my clients because of that.
You know, I'm thinking about this a little bit, and if you put the number of years I've been doing this and the number of years you've been doing this together, we're closing in on 100 years. It's 90-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. Over that time, both of us have seen a lot of folks that come in and sooner or later we'll ask, why should I pay you some percentage of my recovery in this case? Why shouldn't I just represent myself? And you and I both have some answers to that. Tell us what your first couple of responses are on that one.
Well, I think the main thing is the traps that are out there if you don't know what you're doing. You know, maybe 40, 50 years ago for a very small case, you know, $1,000, maybe you could do it on your own, but I would not advise that. You need someone who knows what they're doing. And what I've found is that there's a lot of lawyers out there, general practitioners, who will take a case, a personal injury case, and end up calling me or calling you to find out the secrets of, that we know so they can get a better result for their client. Now, you know, I'm collegial, so I help out, but, you know, I don't get credit for that information. That's going back to the other lawyer. But the main thing is to get someone who's an expert at it, someone who does nothing but that kind of work. And that's what we do. All we do is personal injury work. We limit our practice to that kind of work.
You know, one trap that comes to mind that we see on a somewhat regular basis is the individual who comes in thinking that they could handle their case, and they tried for a little bit, and with any luck at all, they haven't made any deal yet when they arrive. But the insurance company has offered them this combination of, I'll give you $5,000 right now, and we'll pay for your medical bills for the next 6 or 7 months. It kind of sounds like a thoughtful deal, but...
Well, I was actually still working for the insurance companies when that whole theory came out. And the studies that the insurance companies were doing is, what is the holdup to prevent someone from settling this case now for 10% of its value rather than going to a lawyer, et cetera? So they're trying to figure out a way to satisfy that need for immediacy. So the idea there is that, oh, okay, here's $5,000, but if I have an injury down the road or I need more medical treatment, what are you gonna do? So the insurance company started saying, all right, we'll hold open the claim for 6 months, and if you have medical bills up to $10,000, we'll pay those. So it's a horrible way to do, it's a good idea, in fact, brilliant on the part of the insurance company, but it's the worst thing a client can do because you may be giving away your case for nothing. And the abuse got so bad that the General Assembly in Virginia actually passed a statute that said if you sign a release of some sort, you have 72 hours or 48 hours to say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's similar to the timeshare thing. Remember back in the day when they sold a lot of timeshares, people would buy one and they'd have, you know, decide, oh my God, this is a terrible decision for me. I can't afford it. I got caught up in the marketing and the free meals and all that sort of thing. So the law is that you can get out of it within 3 days. So the abuse got so bad with the insurance company, the General Assembly did the same thing. It's a shorter time frame, but it gives you an out of some sort. So it's not a good idea.
And cynical me seems to find that those situations where that offer is made is one where the insurance adjuster sees the potential of significantly greater medical bills and treatment in the future, but can kind of be optimistic with the prospect and say to the injured person and say, you're going to get better with PT and we'll pay for that PT and everything's going to be wonderful. And the optimist goes, yeah, that's right. And then the surgery comes, no compensation because they signed a release, right?
And I got a call, I'm going to say 6 months ago, from a client I'd previously represented. And he was hurried to settle his case because I guess he had a need for some cash. He did it. And then the surgeon tells him, oh, well, this is from the accident, this herniated disc you had. So he calls me up and says, hey, is there anything I can do? And the answer is no. Right. You're out of luck. You should have talked to me beforehand.
Well, that's a good sort of transition into what are the benefits of using a personal injury specialist as opposed to the general practitioner around the corner?
Well, the main thing is that we know where the traps are for the unwary. So the best go-to example I have for that was a friend of mine I've known for years. She had a daughter who had an injury, and I think she broke her arm as it was, and she settled the case on her own. And I think she got, $50,000 was the amount of money. And after she settled the case, she gets a letter from a subrogation collection agent and says, oh, yeah, that's nice that you settled for $50,000, but don't forget, under the terms of your medical plan, you need to pay us back everything we paid out. And we paid out $75,000, so please make your check payable to us. And that was a real learning experience for her, but again, there was nothing that could be done at that point because she'd settled the case, she signed a release, and she had to figure out a way to get the money to the insurance company.
I have noticed from in the course of my many years of doing this, that personal injury work has gone from being relatively simple in the early days in terms of the components of evaluating a claim and a jury trial that today takes 3 days, took 1 day. it has gotten sufficiently complicated, particularly with coverages, that the interplay among uninsured, underinsured, umbrella coverage, medical payments coverage, all of that can get complicated and you can leave money on the table without realizing it.
Excellent point, Peter. The insurance adjuster that you're talking to, if you try to do it on your own, will only tell you about the coverage that is from their company. Now, a lot of folks like me and you, and probably a good number of people, will have not only a family automobile policy in the amount of $300 or whatever, but they'll also have an umbrella policy that pays UM, underinsured motorist, or UM benefits. And so the adjuster would call you up and say, well, yeah, your case is only worth the amount of the coverage, so here's the check. Well, if you consult with a lawyer who understands the vagaries of this process, they'll know where to look for other coverages, whether it's a resident relative, you're on someone else's policy, that sort of thing. So, the big benefit is knowing that to having a specialist who knows what they're doing is to get all the information so you as a client make the best decision on the available information.
And don't you also find that some people, and I think it's commendable, feel like they're cheating or doing something illegal if they get paid for the same bill two or three times, such as medical payments coverage, liability coverage, and health insurance coverage?
I get that frequently from clients, and what I tell them is that's the way the system is designed. For every dollar that you spend for medical treatment from someone else's negligence, first, your medical insurance, if you have it, is going to pay that. Then if you have medical payments coverage on your policy, or PIP as it is in other states, you're going to get that. And then finally, in the liability settlement. And that's the way the system is set up. So for example, MedPay, I always encourage people to get that because the family deductible for most medical insurance plans is $6,000. So that's a lot of money. So if you have MedPay in the amount of $10,000, which is what I recommend, then you've got a source to get those copays and deductibles back. Physical therapy, for example, every time you go to get physical therapy, it's a $50 copay. That adds up after a while because most physical therapy is for, you know, 12 weeks, three times a week, whatever the doctor decides for you.
And I also find that people say, well, I don't want to use my insurance. That'll cause my rates to go up. And I routinely tell them, no.
Not at all. If the accident isn't your fault, your insurance is not going to go up. Even if it's a $1 million claim, it's not going to make a difference. The difference is made to the person who's responsible for the accident. Right. They're the ones whose insurance is going to go up, and rightfully so. But if you make a UM claim or UIM claim, there is no effect on you.
Do you think there's really much difference between hiring a lawyer to handle your personal injury case who is paid in the traditional and most frequent contingent fee, that is, paid a percentage of the recovery, versus the occasional lawyer that wants to do it by the hour?
Well, I mean, I guess if a client can afford to do that, to pay the lawyer as you go along, then that would be an alternative. But I don't find that many folks in our field like to do that. It's just difficult. It's another thing you have to worry about in terms of the whole process. For example, in a domestic case, if you're paying your lawyer by the hour, then you're concerned about bringing up issues, you know, about the divorce, about child custody or whatever, and you have to get...
That are going to make it more complicated and run up the hours.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas if we have a deal, basically, where I'm going to get paid X for your case, and we don't worry about the financial piece. I work as hard as I can to get you the best result I can, and that way we don't worry about all those issues.
And I like that there is an alignment, no divergence in interest. Both the lawyer and the client are trying to get the maximum number of dollars out of this case.
That's a great point, Peter.
Basically, you and me, Mr. Client, against the insurance company.
Yep.
In that regard, would you characterize, or how would you characterize our business philosophy as a law firm over the decades that we've been working together?
Oh, do what's best for the client. I mean, that's the paramount concern for us is what is in the client's interest and get that done. So we try to do everything we can in our little bag of tricks and everything you've learned over the years and I've learned over our combined 90 years. And use that to get the best result we can for the client. And there's no conflict there. We're just working together. Client does their part, we do our part, and that gets the best result.
Well, and let me take that one step further.
Yes, sir.
I think there are some law firms that have very talented paralegals and the like who for reasons of business efficiency, and some of us will use a negative term and say that those type of firm are mills that are just cranking as many cases as possible, the client often spends more time and knows the paralegal but hardly sees the attorney at all. And that's just not true with us.
No, not at all. We make it a point before we accept your case. Yes, if you call the office, you're going to talk to someone who does an intake, gets the basic details. But then you'll always speak to a lawyer before we go any further with the case to make sure it's a case that's appropriate for us to handle, whether it's appropriate for you, whether we can make that kind of recovery. And we're there the whole time. I think you and I both use the paralegal case management system, but the paralegal is there to assist the lawyer to try to get the case resolved. Now, you know, a lot of times you and I are in court or whatever, and so they can generally get the paralegal on the phone to get an answer, but I make it a point to call my clients every 60 days, 30 days or so and say, hey, what's going on? Are we doing a good job? Is there anything we can do better? Absolutely. So the difference with Burnett and Williams is you're going to be talking to a lawyer and not talking to someone else for business efficiency reasons.
Right. And I also think that and in that first meeting, I try and really make the point to the vast majority of clients who kind of feel like they've been in the accident, here's the accident report, here's my insurance declaration sheet, and let me know when you get a check. And I try and disabuse them of that whole issue, and that this is going to be a team approach.
Absolutely.
I'll give you an example of a client that we have who got hurt, and she's a avid as an adult person ballet dancer. Well, she hurt her leg, and we want to demonstrate to the insurance company that injury. And the way you do that is to have her get us some pictures. Tell us about the club she's involved in. Tell us what her last performance was, and really take the time out of their lives to play that out in a way that it's real. And of course, that the insurance company is looking at how will a jury respond to this information that you're giving us.
Exactly.
And thereby put more money on it.
The more information we get, the better job we can do for you. So the more collaborative we are, the better the end result. Absolutely.
Let me raise a subject that probably shows my age a little bit, and I call it the locality rule.
Yes, sir.
And that we have found over the years that folks tend to not want to go any further to find an attorney than they do to take their dog to the vet or to get their hair done or shop or whatever it is in their own sort of home market area. And certainly there's a convenience to that, but should folks only consider lawyers that are in their local area?
No, not necessarily. You and I are both kind of old school in the sense that we like to sit down with someone, get to know them, look them in the eye, you know, and kind of get that connection going, because that always gets the best result. But, you know, ever since COVID, a lot of that has changed. People like to Zoom calls, and certainly we're all set up to do that, do things by telephone. I know we can sign documents, certain documents electronically. So yeah, that's available to, you know, whatever is most convenient for the client. But I'll always be like you, I'd rather meet with someone.
Now, the other thing too is a lot of folks think if you're a personal injury lawyer, you'll take any personal injury type of case.
Oh, no.
And right. And there are cases like Camp Lejeune and Boy Scout cases, product liability cases that are class action, that are gigantic. How do you draw the lines for those decisions?
Well, I try to stay within my bailiwick, and some of these things are kind of very specialized, very limited recovery. So if someone comes to me with a Camp Lejeune case or a Boy Scout case, you know, we can handle it. But a lot of times I'll associate someone in the class action status. So I try to you know, keep most of my cases are the motive, you know, where people have been injured as a result of someone else's negligence. Certainly Camp Lejeune is negligence, but you know, more of the local type stuff. Because when you get involved in one of those cases and you're dealing with the class action lawyer manager who's based out of Indiana, for example, because they have class action laws that are more favorable than in Virginia if you're not in federal court. So yeah, I try to stick to what I know.
It also reduces the expense to the client if they're join a group of folks who have similar cases, because that very expensive, very talented expert witness, the cost of him or her is going to be divided amongst many as opposed to individually paying it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I've got a propane injury case right now where there's seven law firms involved, seven parties. And my proposal was, why don't we get one expert? Because the expert's going to say the same thing. And of course, no one liked that idea. And so after the expert designations came out, we got seven different experts that said basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, wow, that's, you know, $100,000 that was wasted between all these law firms when they could have worked together on it. But yeah, absolutely.
That's just good common sense.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me just wrap up with you by asking you, when if you're advising somebody on how to go about choosing a personal injury lawyer, we know first choice should be Jim Williams.
Yes.
Second
would be Peter Brett.
Thank you. but tell me, in your view, what are the particulars in 60 seconds or less that you would tell somebody to have in mind when they're talking to a personal injury lawyer?
Look for someone who is experienced, who limits her practice to personal injury, not someone who does a little bit of everything, because you have a situation of a, you know, jack of all trades and master of none. Go directly to someone who limits their practice to personal injury. Look for someone who has a lot of experience doing these types of cases. And very importantly is someone who's not afraid to try a case. Now, you and I are like surgeons in the sense that we can do surgery. We try to look for alternatives to surgery because that's you know, kind of a most invasive thing to do. But if you don't have someone that can try the case, then the insurance company knows that. Back when I was a defense attorney, one of the sections on the report that we would send 60 days before trial was the quality of the plaintiff's lawyer. So there were some lawyers who were known for non-suiting their case right before trial. there were some lawyers knowing that never went to trial. They were going to take whatever the last offer was. So if the insurance company knows that you've hired one of those lawyers, you're never going to get the best deal as you will if you hire someone who's not afraid to go in the court and kick some butt.
I agree with you 100%. And let me leave it with one last thought here, too. I think one of the most important parts of the lawyer-client relationship are that both lawyer and client trust each other.
Absolutely.
And you've got to demonstrate that trust to each other. And when we work together as a team, that's when you win the best result. Well, Jim, I really appreciate your taking the time to be with us today.
And thank you.
We've conveyed a lot of good information.
Yes, sir.
And thank you all for joining us today. We hope that the information that Jim and I have discussed will be helpful to you.